I want to speak to you on this theme of Thanksgiving today. Specifically, I'm titling this message, The Thanksgiving Ladder. Because, see, your life should be going somewhere. It should be moving up into the purposes of God. And I believe that there is a ladder you can climb, and something to do with thanksgiving is written on every rung of that ladder. And if you become a thankful person, you can receive the glory of God. I want to start with a story. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. This is what we read. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us today to be different people, to be thankful people, to be godly people, to be glory-filled people. We open our hearts to you for the increased power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Come and teach us your ways. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible here says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem. And he was along the border that separates Samaria and Galilee. There were typically 2 main paths that joined Galilee and Jerusalem, which are about 60 miles apart from each other. One was called the Via Maris, which it means the way of the sea. And if you were in Jerusalem and you wanted to go that way, you would travel east toward the west toward the Mediterranean. Then you would go up along the coastal road, having a view of the ocean from time to time. And then when you got to the area of Mount Carmel and Megiddo, you would travel across the Jezreel Valley to Nazareth, and then through the horns of Hattin, and down to Tiberias, and to the Sea of Galilee, and the regions round about. Or you could go a different way. You could go along the Jordan River in what is known as the African Rift Valley. Between 2 large mountain ranges sits the Sea of Galilee, and the Jordan River, and eventually the Dead Sea. Those bodies of water are the lowest 3 lakes, rivers, and sea in the whole world. Galilee is the lowest lake in the world. The Jordan River is the lowest river in the world. And the Dead Sea is the lowest sea in the world. It's all in this valley, but alongside of all of that is a highway. It's called the King's Highway. And that was the highway that Jesus often traveled on. He would go through Samaria from Galilee into Judea. There he would go past Jericho and then make a sharp right-hand turn in his camel mobile. And he would go up about 20 miles, climbing out of the deepest part of the earth from the area of the Dead Sea, all the way up to Jerusalem, the city of the king. The Bible says Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And he was just coming, as he was coming, he was leaving Galilee and coming to the border of Samaria. Today, they call it the West Bank. It's not the West Bank. God didn't give it that name. It's Samaria and Judea. Amen. And Jesus was on his way there. And just as he came to the edge of Samaria, there were 10 leprous men who met him on the way. It says from a distance. Because they were not allowed to go near anybody. I don't know if you know how serious leprosy was in the time of the Bible. But leprosy was a disease that brought deformity and eventually death to many, many people. It was understood that if you had leprosy in your body, you were cursed. You had a judgment of God on your life. It says in the book of Leviticus that if you start to get a rash on you, you need to pay close attention. And it gives some very detailed information about what the rash was going to be like and whether it was growing and whether it was covering your body. And if you had such rash, you had to go and visit the priest. And he would look it over, and if it met certain medical criteria, then you were deemed to have leprosy. And if you had leprosy, your clothing had to be torn. You were to wear ripped clothing. You were not allowed to go near any human being who did not have leprosy. You could not live in a village or a town. And you would have to have the bottom half of your face covered so that you wouldn't just breathe on anybody. You had to walk around crying out wherever you saw people, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Nobody would go near you. When they saw you coming, they would walk to the other side of the road or as far away from you as they could get. It's interesting that leprosy is mentioned 68 times in the Bible, 13 times in the New Testament, 55 times in the Old Testament. Every time it's mentioned in the New Testament, Jesus healed it. Jesus turned it around. You need to understand how deep and how meaningful it is to be healed in that culture from such a disease. Paul Brandt, Dr. Paul Brandt, who is a great doctor who worked in the field of leprosy, has written several books on the subject. He said, it's really not a skin condition. It's a nerve condition. And there's a bacterium that gets inside and starts to eat away at your nerves, your nerve endings, so that after a while, you don't feel anything. There are some very horrible stories of people who didn't feel. It's like if you pick up a pot of scalding hot water and it could burn and blister your hand, but you wouldn't feel it. You could have eyes full of flies that are bugging you, but you can't feel a tickle or a pain. You don't know they're there unless you see it. You could walk and bash your toe against a rock, and it could be split open and bleeding. An infection could be getting in under the nail, and you wouldn't even know because you can't feel it unless you look down and saw it. Dr. Brandt says, sometimes your pain is your most valuable friend. Joy and I visited leprosy colonies before. On one occasion in India, Joy and I went and preached in the city of Madras. And there they had a leprosy colony and a leprosy hospital. So we decided to go. And we found out that every worker in the whole place is a born-again Christian. Almost all the leprosy workings in India, and there's many of them, are run by born-again Christians. And this doctor was so happy to see us that he wanted to introduce us to all of the leprosy patients in the place. So the first thing he said to us was, it's not contagious. I've been working here for 25 years and I do not have leprosy. And then he went from place to place. He said the problem when leprosy gets in around the eye is that a person can't close their eye. Their blinking mechanism doesn't work. And then the eye dries out, and before long you can go blind. So he says, because the nerves aren't there. So they did an operation where they tied a sinew or some tendon to the eyelid down to the lower part of this guy's jaw. And every time he went like that with his mouth, he bit, his eye blinked. So he learned to be biting a couple of times a minute so that he'd have his eye watered. They were doing all kinds of operations. They had a little factory there for making clothes and chairs and things like that just for leprosy people. Because if you're a leper and leprosy is in your feet, you can't have shoes with nails in them, as many of the old shoes did have, because those nails would eat away at your skin and you wouldn't even know it. Before long, infection would set in and you'd lose a foot. So they would only use real cushy foam bits and pieces and put them together with glue. We went from place to place, from bed to bed, and we met all of these different patients, and the doctor was very thorough in telling us all the operations that all of them had had and how they're all born-again Christians now, and this is their community. But it wasn't like that in Jesus' day. Some people say the leprosy is the disease of the human claw, because the withered hand that you read about in the Bible is probably a man who had leprosy, and the hand tends to go back like a claw. It is so bad that you can't feel anything. There's gruesome stories of people being attacked at night by rats and not know it. After a while, fingers and hands and fall off because of infections. The nose flattens into the face. A person becomes deformed and hideous looking if they have a biblical kind of leprosy. So I want you to picture these 10 people. Never getting close to their mother or their father or their brother or their sister again. Being outcast, never allowed to go into the city. Beggars that people can't even come to and give them something. They have to leave it somewhere for them. Some food or something like that. Here's 10 of them. They found each other. Their clothes has to be ripped and torn according to the Bible. They have a judgment of God upon their lives, so everybody says they must have deserved it. They have the bottom part of their face covered. They're in pain in some parts, and in other parts they don't have pain, but they've got things falling apart. 10 of them. At the very spot where Galilee and Samaria comes together. But they've heard about Jesus. Can you imagine? If you were in a situation like that, and all of a sudden you heard that Jesus has already healed Simon the leper. He's already healed the man with the withered arm. He's already healed so many other people, even raised people from the dead. If only he would come by our district. Oh, what a day that would be for us. These were people who couldn't walk all the way to Jerusalem. And even if they could, they would not be allowed in the city. And suddenly, there from the distance, Jesus is coming. Oh my. It's like that for everybody who gets saved if they really know what's happening. It's like that for every person who gives their life to Jesus. They don't know how destitute and how dark their life really is until Jesus starts to turn it around. But these lepers knew. They couldn't come close, but at a distance they called. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus came right over to them. He's the Lord of life. He's the giver of hope and liberty and strength. And he says to these people, go and show yourself to the priests. You're healed. He just spoke the word. And they turned and they started to go. And as they were going, they were healed, cleansed. Can you imagine the excitement? I'm going to see my mom again. I'm going to see my wife again. I'm going to see my children again. I'm going to be able to hug my father again. I'm going to be able to be normal again. And one of them stopped everything before he ever went to the priest. Something went off inside of him. And he turned around. He probably had tears in his eyes at that time. And he went and he ran to Jesus. The Bible says he came back. And he started to praise God with a loud voice. And when he saw Jesus, he didn't just say, thank you very much, sir. This was a very nice thing you did for me. The Bible says he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He wanted to communicate. You see, he was a beggar. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any wealth. All he had was his heart. And with everything he had within him, he threw himself down at the feet of Jesus and said, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Something happened at that moment in that man's life that did not happen in the other nine. Jesus said, were there not 10 who were healed? Where are the other nine? Well, they were so excited with what they had received, and they were so blessed, and they were so ready to get back into life. But you have come, and you're a Samaritan. You're not even Jewish. You're a foreigner. See, it doesn't matter. It does not matter where you come from, or what tribe you're a part of, or what nation you've come from. Whether you're a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl, or whether you're older or younger, the Lord is looking for the condition of your heart. And he wants to see if there is something there called thankfulness. See, because this is a plague, a cancer in the world. This thing called unthankfulness. If you go to the book of Timothy in the 3rd chapter, in verse 1, it says, in the latter days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And then it says, they will be disobedient to parents, and they will be unthankful. One of the things that illustrates what the end of time will be like is there'll be a lot of unthankful people, self-focused people. You know, people can thank you if they have a reason or a gain in it. They can thank you out of a wrong motive. It's not real. Some of it is just being polite because mom said, whenever you get that, you listen to me, young man. If you don't say thank you, you're going to get a paddling on your behind. Yes, mom. Thank you, Miss Katie. Some people then, they do it out of habit. But it doesn't mean that the heart is activated. But you know, God's looking at the heart. Amen. There's a journey for you to go on. We could call it the thankful train. I like to talk about the thankful ladder, the Thanksgiving ladder that you can rise up on and take steps on. You know, the hardest people to be thankful toward are the people who are closest to you. If somebody you don't see a lot comes and does something extraordinary for you, you immediately react, respond with thank you, that was so kind. But when it's your wife or your husband or your children or your mother or your dad, and they do something to you because they've done it for you 100, maybe 1,000 times before, it's easy for you not to say thank you and not to express thankfulness. But I tell you today, you cannot climb this ladder without being thankful. Romans chapter 1 talks about a depraved mind. It talks about those people who become reprobate, those people who go beyond the pale, beyond the place of God's reach, it seems. It says they start, and even though the heavens are full of the glory of God, and at every place they look, God is there, they are not thankful. And because they were not thankful, God gives them up to selfishness. And because they still ran in their own selfishness, God gives them up to their own lusts. And because they run so far in that, God gives them up to perversions. It's a slippery slope where eventually God gives them up to a reprobate mind. I've met people like that. There's nothing so dark as a hollow person. What's the antidote? It starts off with being thankful. You cannot afford to be unthankful. Unthankful to your mom, unthankful to your dad, unthankful to your brothers, your sisters, your friends. I want you to know, as co-workers with me in the gospel, I am so thankful for you. For every one of you who's laid down his life to be a part of Antioch International Church, who serves and gives themselves sacrificially. I am so thankful for your partnership. I don't know how to say it stronger. But every one of you who lifts their hand to partner in the gospel does something in my heart for which I am eternally grateful. See, there's a thank you deficit in the world today. There's a big dark hole. It is so bad. And I hope, if you're part of that, that the Holy Spirit convicts you today. And I hope you have a reversal. I hope you have such a dynamic change. Being unthankful is pride. It's just you looking after yourself. Being self-focused. Egocentric, it's called. A 3-year-old can be egocentric. Me, 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 me. I want this now. But if you're 30 and you're egocentric, it's nasty. For many, the change happens during their teen years. They learn either to become thankful because they get beat up so much. And they realize that they were not thankful, or others were not thankful with them when they did something. And the Holy Spirit teaches them to be thankful. And if you emerge out of the teen years with a super thankfulness of heart, wow, you're precious. But if you're just beautiful, that's not precious. Because one day, you won't be beautiful. If your makeup budget exceeds the amount of money you have to put in the car to run the car, you know, things have changed. There are 5 love languages that you've heard about before, pretty popular nowadays. Different people have different personalities, and everyone should express love to others in some way. And different people, you express a different level of love too. If you're married to somebody, well, you're going to give them all your heart, your loyalty, your faithfulness. If they're members of your family, there's a love and a care that's there. That is greater than those who aren't in your family. Then God gives you special friends. And you love them. It's a sad thing when friendships break up. It's very sad. That's one of the difficulties of being a pastor. Because if you're a pastor who's worth his salt, then you love people. When you love people, they love you back. But then after time, somebody has to leave. Sometimes it's for good reasons, but it still hurts. You feel like there's a little, not necessarily a divorce, but a separation. And then you're supposed to love friends. You're supposed to love everyone. Furthermore, the Lord says to love your enemies. That's real hard. But you're good people and maturing, so you're getting there. But the five love languages to express this love are important. One is touch. And another is speaking affectionately or encouraging words. Then there's gift giving. I like that one. I like a couple of the others too. Then there's serving. When you serve somebody, go out of your way to serve them when you're not getting paid for it. Or it goes beyond your what you're getting paid for. You go the extra mile to serve. It's a sign of love. Love toward the Lord and love towards people. And then there's giving quality time. Spending time with somebody can be your way. Just stopping everything and being together. That's a sign of love. So there's these five different love languages. Touch, speaking affectionate or encouraging words, gift giving, serving, and quality time. Giving quality time to somebody. In each case, it should be expressed so that the other person knows it. It should be something when somebody is loved that they can tell. You know, I'm not talking about just what Hollywood calls love. There's all different levels of love. You can love a friend without marrying them. Or worse. Well, this thing of Thanksgiving has some different dimensions to it as well. Just like there's five love languages, let me suggest to you that there are different things that you can do to express your thankfulness as well. First of all, by speaking it, by saying thank you. But when you do it, as I pointed out already, you have to say it in such a way that the person believes you. It's not just thanks. Try to say at least 10 words. Thank you, this was so good. I really appreciate this. At least that. Thanks. And then there's the giving of your time. Service is a way of thanking somebody. When you serve them, you thank them. Chuck Williams is outstanding in this department. From time to time, he even comes and cuts my grass. I never would have imagined it. But it's so meaningful. Wayman has blessed me with so many gifts because he's a carpenter and builder. And I've been doing a little bit here and there. And he said, well, I have that. You can have it. After a while, I said, why do you keep giving me things, Wayman? He says, because you're my teacher. I felt his love and his care. So giving is a way. You know when Naaman, you know who Naaman is? He's that man who had leprosy, was the commander of an army. And he came against the Israelites and took a slave girl back to his house, and she served his wife. And this man Naaman had leprosy all over him. And this little slave girl went up and said, "I wish, O master, that you could go to Israel. There's a prophet there, and he can heal you with God's power." And so Naaman went with gifts, silver and gold and gems and all kinds of clothes, fancy fabrics. And he went there. He went first to the king, and the king says, "I can't help you." But Elijah the prophet heard about it, and he said, "Send him my way." And before he came, Gehazi, his servant, ran out and said, "If you'll dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times, you'll come up healed." Well, at first he didn't want to do that because it was dirty. Those of you who have been baptized in the Jordan know that there's a little something you have to get over. The big catfish swimming around. The muskrats. And the cold and the dirt. The mud. He said, "There's better rivers than Damascus. Why do I have to get baptized in the Jordan?" And they said, "Please humble yourself." So he did, and he was healed, and he had all these gifts to give. Elijah says, "I don't want your gifts." But gift giving is a sign of thanksgiving. I love to give gifts, and I love to receive gifts. Especially when somebody's heart is in it. You know, we need to have a lot more lubrication in the whole flow of this love and thanksgiving business. So there's giving of your time, there's giving of your service, there's expressing it, giving thanks, and there's gift giving. All of those are ways to say thank you. Say thank you. Who should you thank, and when should you thank them? Well, the Bible says, in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means every situation, give thanks. Give thanks when you're going through a good time. Give thanks when you're in a boring time. And what about when it's a tough time? Can you find something to give thanks for? Yeah, for sure. In everything, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. If you learn this lesson, it'll change everything for you. And then we go over to Timothy. We read in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I want you to see this verse. Most I just quoted to you, but I want you to see this one. Because it says, "I urge then, first of all, that prayer, that requests, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." Now this elevates this thing of thanksgiving to another level. We know that you should give thanks for things that are thankworthy. The Lord says if there's any virtue, if there's any positive things, if there's any things that are wonderful, if there's any things that are worthy of thanks or praise, think on those things. But what about things that aren't worthy of thanksgiving? Oh my. I've said it before, I need to say it again. Whatever you honor, you will get more of. If you honor wickedness, that person will become more wicked. If you were in the mafia and somebody was really violent and you said, "You did a great job putting that guy down," he'll do a better job next time. But if you honor good things, you'll get more good things. So, you know, the way you treated those children was extraordinary. You did it with such care and with such time, and you got down to their level. And then that person will want to be more of that next time they get the opportunity. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, we read this. Nor should there be obscenity. You know what obscenity is? It's filthy talking. It's sarcastic sex talk. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, Mr. Tongue, I'm speaking to you today. Oh, Mrs. Tongue, I'm speaking to you today. Mrs. Tongue, it's very nice to see you. I hope that you've been walking righteously, Mr. Tongue, and not speaking obscenities and filthy things and coarse kind of joking. But rather something that can be so good for you. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. See, there's a ladder. I could buy you all a ladder for Christmas and have each rung painted with thank the Lord, thank your wife, thank your children, thank your friends, thank your pastor. See, that Samaritan man who was a leper, what did he get that the others didn't get? All ten of them were healed of their leprosy. But something else went inside of this man. I actually have to read to you one more verse before we land the plane and close this message. Please come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, 15. Because this is what this man got. It says, talking about all the good things that Jesus did. Verse 15, it says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I want you to see these three words. I want this to stick with you. Grace, thanksgiving, glory. God's given you grace. Isn't that right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be saved. You wouldn't be enjoying life. You wouldn't have so many blessings on every side. But you have God's grace upon grace upon grace. Now add to that such a river of thanksgiving. Let the thanksgiving flow through you. God's given you grace. Give him thanks. Give everybody thanks. Everyone who comes to partner with you, to work with you, to assist you in some way, to be your friend. Give them thanks. Give it in an overdose. Like a flood. Thank. And the Lord says, it'll create the glory of God in you. You've got the grace. Now extend the thanks, and God's glory will come. That's the pattern. So this Samaritan beggar, leprous man, who ran back to Jesus with thanks, you know what came upon him? The glory of God. The others never got that part. They just got a physical healing. I remember the time when somebody I knew quite close was not a Christian. And they had one leg shorter than the other. And they got prayed over and their leg grew. And they said, that's amazing. Isn't that amazing? They never came to Christ. She was healed, this lady was. But that's as far as it went. That's what happened to the other nine lepers. But this one leper, he came back for the glory. He came back to give thanks. And he wasn't going to waste it. He was going to make sure that his expression went into God's thank you bank. He got up on the first rung of the ladder, the thank you ladder. He says, this really works. I'm going to climb this ladder all my days until I come right into the glory of God. Something came upon that man. He was made whole, not just physically well. He was made whole. All the rejection, all the abuse, all the loneliness, all the fear, all of that taken away. Besides that, the presence of God, the glory of God coming on him. What kind of person do you want to be? You might already be very handsome or strong. Some of you ladies are super intelligent. Some of you are even nice. But why not go to a different level with whatever you've got? Why not go to a different level? And it's really easy, but it'll take some concerted effort on your part. Start to become a thankful person. Be so thankful. Everywhere you look. Who to? Everyone. In what situations? In every situation. Let it come forth out of you. Make it the way you live. In this house, we're thankful people. Let me pray for you. This is Thank You Sunday. Can you thank God for this message? Can it bring change to you? Can it bring change to you? Please stand to your feet. You know what? Goes around, comes around. You've heard that saying before. Whatever you sow into is what you'll become. If you're a grumpy person, after a while, all of your friends will be grumpy. And you'll say, why are all those people I hang out with grumpy? Because you're grumpy. Everybody else will leave after a while. But if you're a thankful person, you know what? It'll be infectious. Somebody else will catch the disease, and they'll become thankful too. Just open your hands now. Whew. Wind of the Holy Spirit, take us into the glories of God. Change our hard hearts and our pride and our stubbornness and our stiffness. Let us be a thankful people. Let us be bubbling over with thankfulness, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to speak it, to express it properly, to be givers, to focus on the things that are good and not the things that are difficult or rough. Take us on so that we might be children of the day and not of the night. We welcome the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God on our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move among us like a river. Come and flow among us into the deep corners of our lives. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I give you everything. I give you my heart. Take out the hard part, the insensitive part, and make me full of your love. Let me be a thankful person. Let thanksgiving roll. Let my heart be filled with thanksgivings. I receive your love and your power. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a little footnote. If you don't feel like any of that, and you feel pretty rough, the best way to change it is to become thankful. Amen. Even if you don't feel it at first. Yes, just muscle up. Yes. And make it happen. Right. Until the Holy Spirit comes behind the words that you speak. Yes. And change will come. Yes. Put your hand on your heart. Lord, I speak blessings over your people today. I thank you for them. How precious they are. How wonderful you have made them. I give them strength in the name of Jesus today. I speak the blessing of the Lord upon you and upon your family, upon your marriages, upon your children and your grandchildren. I speak and release the blessing of the Lord on you for health and soundness of mind, for clarity of thought, and for the praises of God to be in your mouth. I release you to God's covering and protection, to the visits of angels, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I speak His peace upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.